Hello and welcome to this edition of the Pit Mailbag Show here from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter. As always, you can find the show on your favorite podcasting apps and on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to this channel to get all of the daily content that comes out from all of our Pittsburgh sports writers, including the Monday, Wednesday, Friday episodes of the North Shore Drive podcast. And as always, the show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in Pittsburgh. When you go to Mike's Beer Bar, they have all 500 different available beers ready for you. 300 of those beers from the local Pittsburgh area and 80 of those local beers are available on tap. It's the best bar in Pittsburgh. More on them later. As you may be noticing, if you're watching on YouTube, we have a new guest on the show, and that is the Post-Gazette's newest hire to the sports department, the man himself, Stephen Thompson. Stephen, welcome to the team and welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm really excited. My first day, this is my first kind of official bit of Post-Gazette business, so I'm really excited to be here and couldn't be happier to be working with you, Carter.
Okay, you say that now until we're on the road together. But in all seriousness, Stephen's a joy to have, and he was a person who I've gotten to know over the years. But Stephen, tell our audience about yourself, where you come from, how you got into this, and what led to you covering Pitt.
Yeah, so I grew up in Washington, D.C., came to Pittsburgh for college. I attended Pitt for 4 years, got my degree there. Freshman year, I was just kind of looking for something to do, looking for some way to make friends. And so I signed up for the student newspaper, the Pitt News. One thing led to another. I covered, my first basketball game when I was a freshman in, I think, November. And it was a game that no one else wanted. It was, Pitt versus, I think, Central Arkansas or North Alabama or something. Yeah. And so I kind of fell in love with the atmosphere, the environment. I was so, interested, and it was Jeff Capel's first year. So I was interested in what he was building, how he was going to try to revive Pitt basketball. And one thing led to another. I just kept covering one more game when no one else wanted it. I just did them. And so eventually I kind of started to make this a career before it was really a career, before it was even something I knew I wanted to do with the rest of my life. I just kept taking basketball games. I kept taking new stories, and led to me being an editor at the Pitt News. And then eventually graduating with a pretty substantial body of work behind me, covering a bunch of different sports, basketball, football, volleyball, gymnastics, things like that. I ended up working at Sports Illustrated for a little bit. It's covering Pitt, helped kind of build up their dedicated Pitt site, did some Steelers coverage as well, which was a ton of fun. Shout out to my old boss, Noah Strackbine. He was a great mentor for me. And then, this job becomes open, and I immediately sprung at it because this is an organization that I really looked up to. It employed people that I looked up to massively. Some of my best, most valuable mentors worked for the Post-Gazette, and it was an opportunity I couldn't turn down. So I felt very lucky to be offered the job, and it wasn't a very difficult decision to accept it and to take on this challenge, which I'm really excited for.
Well, we are excited to have you here at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette as a person who's seen Stephen in action for quite a few years now. I'm excited to see what he brings to the team with myself and Abby Schnabel, who, by the way, is vacationing right now. Abby, if you get a chance to watch this, you better not be watching this. You better be enjoying Greece right now. So enjoy your vacation, Abby. We'll see you when you get back. But Stephen, let's get into it, because I want to talk to you about that basketball team and the Brick by Brick situation that Jeff Capel's going on, because one of our guys here, Craig, sent in a question to the Pitt Mailbag Show. By the way, email your questions to us whenever you want. C. Carter at post-gazette.com or S. Thompson at post-gazette.com. But, or you can tweet at us on Twitter with your question. We'll try to get you on the show. But Craig asked this question: does Bub Carrington's getting drafted really do anything for Pitt? He was one and done. And I've seen this narrative a lot, Stephen, where people are like, okay, he got drafted, but that doesn't change anything. He didn't win a tournament game. He didn't get them to the tournament. This is fun for right now, but it doesn't change anything for Pitt. Stephen, do you feel that way? Or do you think that this is a momentous thing? Or do you think this is just a positive thing that isn't going to be long lived?
Yeah, no, I think it's positive, and I think it does carry some significance for Pitt, and a pretty good deal of significance for Pitt. I mean, even in Pitt's glory days, even when it was the successful it's ever been, it was not doing this kind of work, sending guys to the NBA. You think about, DeJuan Blair, I believe, was, not someone who stuck around in the league very long. I believe like the most successful pro Pitt's probably ever had was, Steven Adams or Brad Wanamaker, at least in the modern era, at least kind of this century. So I think Bub getting drafted gives them a level of visibility that this program hasn't really had before. On a national stage, getting, Pitt noticed by kind of more casual fans. They see Jeff Capel hugging Bub in the green room on draft night. He's a first rounder. He's getting his name called. You hear that you know, pick number 14th overall, Bub Carrington from Pittsburgh. I think that matters. I think that does give Pitt a level of visibility that it didn't have before. And I think the other thing, you know, I brought up Steven Adams, who was, I think, the number 13 overall pick when he got drafted, but he was not someone who wore Pitt nearly as proudly as Bub does.
Right.
It was only 1 year, but, you know, I heard Jeff Capel say, you know, this offseason, they were really intentional with the way that they announced Bub's decision to declare for the draft. Usually they just kind of send out an email for guys who are turning pros, but they held a press conference. They invited, you know, a ton of local media showed up. Bub's parents were there. The whole team was there, his assistant coaches, other personnel from the athletic department. And they did that very intentionally because they wanted Bub to be able to talk about what his experience at Pitt meant. It was only 1 year, but you could tell that the connection he had with the team, with the program, his coaches, the fans, it was genuine. It was meaningful. And Bub's time at Pitt did mean something. I think that's the other thing that I think gets lost in this a little bit. You see a guy who's one and done and you assume, okay, he entered as a one and done guy, right, that he was going to be NBA right out of high school. And that's the case for a lot of these American born players who go to college and do that. Bub was not really that guy. He was a kind of lower four star. His offers weren't, you know, particularly ridiculous. He had a few power fives, but it wasn't, you know, like he was getting pulled by UNC and Duke and Kentucky. He was a very different situation and he got developed at Pitt. He got better at Pitt. And so I think that all lends itself to, you know, his 1 year at Pitt being a lot more meaningful than I think it looks on the surface.
I think I'm right along with you. Bub Carrington's getting drafted is big for Pitt, also because of the fanfare of it. Like, you know, Jeff Capel was there, he was being hugged, and he was a lottery pick. That's the other part. He was the 14th in the last spot in the lottery, but he made it into the lottery pick, and that hasn't happened since Steven Adams, let alone a first round pick. And I think it's also big because now what you're doing is you're now saying, if you're Jeff Capel, all those guys you're recruiting this year, including Malik Thomas, you're like, Hey, big head, how's it going? Did you watch the NBA draft this year? Did you see what we did for that guy? And that was Bub. Like you said, Bub wasn't a top five player in the country like Malik Thomas is. He's like, imagine what that could be for you. And again, it's your hometown. It's going to be different for a Malik Thomas. You know, I think that there's also guys like Amari Evans, a four star guy who also plays an overtime elite in Atlanta, who will be joined by Malik Thomas there. I look at this, Steven, and I think that if you want to poo-poo the success that Pitt had with Bub Carrington and shine it more on the light that they didn't make the tournament this year, that's fine. And that's you know, you can say that Jeff Capel still only made one tournament in what is 6 years with the program. But I don't think anyone can deny that things are looking brighter now than they ever have. Because last year, even with the tournament wins, there was a question with this. I mean, you and I talked about this just on our time, just being people in Pittsburgh. Like, could this carry over? Because last year it could have been just a poof of, you know, veterans that just got hot for 1 year and played really well. And Blake Hinson didn't turn into a leader, and Bub Carrington and Jalen Lowe weren't that good. And then all of a sudden everything comes crumbling down again. But that's not what happened. They missed the tournament, but they were a 22-win team that missed the tournament, that made the semifinals of the ACC tournament, which, by the way, no other Pitt team has done. So I look at this and I think that, sure, there's no banner that gets hung for Bub Carrington yet. I mean, maybe if he does really well in the NBA, there'll be something hung for him in the rafters eventually. But I think this is just a good sign for Jeff Capel's program, because despite, like you said, if you're an American born prospect and you're highly touted and you go to a Kentucky, a UConn, so many of those players are one and done, because that's just what it is. Bub being good enough to be that can advertise to the world, to all the recruits out there, when Jeff Capel's talking to them and they say, yeah, but can you get me to the NBA? And now Jeff Capel can say, look right there. And again, that's different than Justin Champagne or Muhammad Ugi, who are both in the NBA right now.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's a great point that I was going to bring up. Jeff Capel is not only proving that he can get guys to the NBA, he can get guys on NBA rosters, but he can do it for all kinds of players. He can do it for guys who are going to be lottery picks, and he can do it for those guys who might go undrafted, who might be on two-way contracts. There are paths for – he can at least sell this story about, you know, if you are good enough, I can get you there. If you bring the talent, I can mold you, I can develop you, and we can make you – you will leave Pitt better than you were when you arrived here. And I think that's really crucial too.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Absolutely. Let's talk about the other guy that's going to be in the NBA, and that's Blake Hinson. Orlando emails and asks, will Blake Hinson actually play for the Lakers or just bounce around the NBA before we ever see him? And this is a reasonable question because there's plenty of guys who you think, you know, like they get drafted by a team. Well, and Blake didn't get drafted. He got signed for, you know, for a two-way contract, but they get signed to a team and then they go there and then it doesn't work out. Then they bounce around. They're on team G, they're in the G League, and then they're bouncing around different benches and, you know, things happen like that. But I don't know about you, Steven. We talked to last week. I talked to two draft experts from the Locked On NBA Big Board show. And both of them were kind of like, we think Blake Hinson could be a good fit if he goes to the right place. James Barlow, one of the guys in the show, was like, listen, I'm a Mavs fan, and if the Mavs pick him up, I'm going to drive to the airport myself and make sure he gets to Dallas okay. And I don't know if like it's going to be like that with the Lakers, but I actually think if Blake comes in and does well and does what the coaches are asking of him, he could be a tool for the team that needs outside shooting. And he's a big who can do that. I think that if he won't be like some superstar for them, but he could be, he could develop into a role player for them.
Absolutely. And I think you look at Blake and there are obviously concerns about his athleticism. He's going to have to lose a little bit of weight, I think, if he's really going to stick on an NBA roster. But you look at the skill set that he already has. It's really solid rebounding. He's got great size, and he can shoot the hell out of the ball. And that's something that every team basically in the NBA can use. And you look at the Lakers roster, and that is something they can especially use. They don't have many guys who can shoot the ball at the level that Blake Hinson can. So there are going to be some hurdles for him to surpass. But I think if we know one thing about Blake, it's that he's never shied away from work. He's never shied away from trying to get better. And that comes with this natural shooting ability that he has that this team really desperately needs. So do I think he makes the Lakers roster right away? Probably not. I think he does spend some time in the G League, just kind of getting his footing at the NBA level and figuring that stuff out. But he absolutely has skills that the Lakers need. And if he can kind of address some of those smaller concerns, there's absolutely a role for him. There's absolutely a spot for him. I mean, look at Sam Hauser on the Celtics this year. I mean, he was not a guy who was highly touted coming through the draft. I'm not even sure if he was drafted, but after a little bit of developing, after a little bit of seasoning, he became a really valuable asset for a championship roster. And it wasn't really much more than a shooter coming out of college. He was, like Blake, not known as a great defender, but he became a serviceable defender. He wasn't getting embarrassed out there, wasn't getting cooked. And as long as he made those open threes that his teammates were setting him up for, that, you know, LeBron James is going to be able to set up Blake Hinson for pretty easily, then there are absolutely roles for guys like that. You don't need to be superstars to be really valuable contributors to an NBA team.
I agree. I think that there's a place for him there, and he's going to have to work for it. It's not a given, but I also think it might work out for him, especially when, you know, the summer league starts and other things, that the fact that he went to the same team as Bronny, because now there's going to be immediate, like if Blake Hinson was just on any old team, you'd be lucky to catch that on TV. But now if he's playing the same summer games that LeBron James Jr. is playing, That could be something that gets some attention. So that might be there might be a way for Pitt fans to be able to get a national chance to watch some of those games if they want to. And listen, it's summer basketball. You know, while the season, it's not the most exciting thing in the world. But if you're that interested in Blake Hinson, you'll be able to see it there. And maybe he will bounce around the NBA, or maybe he'll stick with the Lakers. But I think both of us agree he has the talent and the potential to get there, which is why the Lakers took the shot on him. I want to switch it here to football real quick. To Norm's question, should we be excited about Pat Narduzzi's first four-star recruit this year? And I wrote about this in the Friday recruitment report briefly, but Pitt did get Mason Alexander, a cornerback that we did preview in the recruitment report beforehand. And he is a four-star cornerback out of Indiana, Fishers, Indiana, to be exact. And he was a guy who we highlighted as maybe one of the potential first guys, and he did sign it. And he is the first four-star out of the 20 commitments. He is the only one that's not a three-star right now. I think it's a positive thing. But I do think, Steven, and I wrote about this in the article too, I do think it's interesting that you see guys like Isaiah Neal, guys like Josiah Whittington, Sincere Edwards, Cam Lindsay, all these four-star guys the past few years, they're all on defense. They haven't gotten a four-star offensive recruit since Ryan Bear. And to me, there's going to be a lot of talk about Cade Bell, a lot of talk about this offense, and Nate Yarnell. Eventually, you need to get a stud on offense that can help somewhere and be a difference maker. And not that all four stars always work out, because there's plenty of four stars that are bad and plenty of two stars that are great. You know, Kalijah Kansi was a two star and he was better than, you know, a lot of the four star guys that they've gotten over the years. But that's still one of the ways that we measure these things. And it adds to, you know, it does kind of point to which programs are recruiting the best and then turn out to be the best.
Yeah. It's a good lead into this. I mean, I really apologize, forget who came up with it, but it's talked about this blue chip ratio, you know, the number of four and five star recruits that the elite teams have, that national championship winning teams have. You can kind of correlate that. The teams with the most talent end up winning, shocking. But you know, I think you can also look at guys like Jordan Addison and Israel Abanikando. Those guys were three star recruits, and those guys can help you on offense. And you know, to a certain extent, I do understand the concern about, you know, we need these guys on offense or whatever, but just looking at this in a vacuum on the defensive side of the ball, I mean, Mason Alexander also plays a position that Pitt develops really well. And Pitt has developed those two or three star guys into NFL level players pretty regularly. Like it's pretty incredible how many of these kind of underrated or, you know, maybe properly rated as three stars or whatever guys who are coming in, they get a few years learning from Archie Collins and Corey Sanders, and all of a sudden they look like guys who can have long NFL careers. And so you think about a guy like Mason Alexander, who is coming in with a much, you know, it's not higher ceiling, it's not higher floor, but coming in with, you know,
higher pedigree.
A higher pedigree. That's a great word for it. He comes in with such a higher pedigree, and now he's going to get developed by these coaches who we know are outstanding, who we know that can turn these prospects that Pitt get into NFL level guys. I think you can be really excited about what kind of ceiling Mason Alexander brings. The other thing is Pitt is kind of looking for that next generation of corners. You know, they had AJ Woods and Marquez Williams and MJ Devonshire for so long. Now they're kind of looking for those next set of guys to step up. So there's going to be openings. I think there's going to be room for Alexander to play pretty soon after he arrives on campus. And if he can take that coaching, if he can take what Archie Collins and Corey Sanders are selling as really good defensive backs coaches and put that into action, I think you should absolutely be excited about this, with obviously the caveat that we'd like one of these guys on the offensive side of the ball too.
Absolutely. I think that you'd like some offense there, but like you said, Pitt's been known to develop cornerbacks and defensive backs. And I think that's the big thing, is that when you look at that, you see that their track record, a lot of those guys that have developed like that have been three stars, you know, and guys that haven't come in with a whole bunch of pedigree with them. And some of them have been higher ones. So I think that's the thing that you look at here, and it can work out really well for Pitt, is if he develops into that, because they need another corner soon. You know, like right now, Rylan Gandy looks like he's going to be the guy. And again, he's another three-star guy out of Georgia who's been sitting there waiting his turn. And now that everyone's excited to see him, and we've heard a lot of good things about him, but you know, there's a question who else is going to line up with him. Rashad Battle's been around. They've got some guys in the transfer portal. They need another young guy who's going to be coming in and eventually, you know, be the next guy in the pipeline. But like you said, as far as assistant coaches, Archie Collins is highly regarded for what he does at corners, and Corey Sanders just got promoted to assistant head coach, which I think speaks loudly to what he does for the program and how he's been a big asset to them. So really interested to see how that plays out. But to answer Norm's question, I think that you should be excited about Pat Narduzzi's first four-star recruit. But take it with the temperament that this is still a team coming off a 3-9 season. They have a lot to prove, a brand new offense, and one four-star cornerback isn't going to change that right away. There's a lot more that has to get done. But we'll cover all of that here at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette over time. Steven, thanks so much for joining me here on the Pitt Mailbag Show for your first Pitt Mailbag and your first of many, sir. Glad that you're on the team here. He's Steven Thompson. I'm Chris Carter. We're your Pitt Beat reporters here along with Abby Schnabel here at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Subscribe to this show the same way that you subscribe to all of our shows on YouTube at Post-Gazette Sports or on our podcast networks, wherever you get your podcasts. It's all for free. Subscribe to that and also subscribe to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, post-gazette.com. Remember, this show is once a week, but we have daily content coming out from all of our Pittsburgh sports writers on all of our teams, as well as the North Shore Drive podcast covering all things Pittsburgh every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We'll see you again next week here on the Pitt Mailbag Show from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.